Last week, you guys seemed to like the six-pack. This week, we'll do a four-pack. Get to that in a moment. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. I am deeply indebted to people like Sean, Jeremy, Ingrid, and many others I have met via Brandon Legal Group over the years. And you know how big I am on these podcasts being free. And Brandon Legal Group provides the financial support to me so we can put these podcasts on platforms that are free for you to listen to them on. 813-902-3576. We are over 1 year in the state of Florida without permanent alimony. So if you are an adult male residing in the state of Florida and you are paying permanent alimony, just know you don't have to do that anymore. Your financial obligation to your former partner can be alleviated or eliminated altogether legally, and Brandon Legal Group can help. Free consult, brandonlegalgroup.com, brandonlegalgroup.com, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. I just dropped my flyer for summer golf camps at Tampa Bay Downs Golf Practice Facility. A lot of really fun things are going to be happening at this golf facility in the coming months. Joey DePompo is the director of golf. He's had a vision for quite some time about additional things that would enhance the facility, and I'm happy to see some of those things coming to fruition. This summer, there are still golf camps for the dates of the week of July 22nd through 25th, July 28th through August 1st, and August 5th through August 8th. Monday through Thursday, camps for ages 6 to 13, boys or girls. The camps run 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Sign up is required at tampabaydowns.com/golf or eventbrite.com. The cost is $150 per week. Joey and Jacob have been offering these camps for years, and they're quite popular. Tampa Bay Downs Golf and Practice Facility also is a place where you can get fitted for a lab golf putter. And for those that have an interest in golf who have heard of this, there's not a lot of places you can get more info and get fitted for one of these putters. Admittedly, they're an expensive putter, but I have seen it in action. My friend Brett McMurphy using it very well in a golf tournament that our team won on the 4th of July at Plantation Palms. So you can accomplish that via Joey DePompo at Tampa Bay Downs Golf. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. Positive feedback, just doing something different last week, offering a six-pack of various thoughts. Some tie together, some don't. Many people buy four packs of things these days. So let's do a four-pack, mainly because they were the first four things to come to mind as I record this on Wednesday. And let's just see where we go with this. Speaking of Brett McMurphy, Brett is traveling around the country these days. There was talk months ago of me joining him at one of these locales doing the media days for college football coaches and for conferences to promote their brand. And I'm going to actually see Brett in person and visit with he and his fun, lovely plus one at some point later this weekend. Brett is with Action Network. Brett used to work for the Tampa Tribune. Brett worked with me at ESPN. Brett worked for, Fan House? Number of stops. He's with Action. You can find him. He's very active on Twitter. And Brett recently posted what I guess was his first draft of his 12 playoff teams. So, you know what stood out to me about Brett's 12 playoff teams? Not who won it all, not who was in the final, not who was the Big 12 champ, Utah, not who was the power, the group of five, Boise. He had Missouri as the eight. He had Missouri as the eight seed in the playoff. That's what jumped off the page to me. And I know Eli, not Manning, is a unique personality. And they have a returning quarterback, which is always important in college football. But I'm one of those, Brett knows, and some others do. We often play the game of, if I was blank for a day, and then what you would do. I, for some reason, say if I was commissioner of the SEC for a day, one of the first things I would do is call an immediate vote of the other 15 schools with my recommendation to write Missouri a check to get them out. I understand why they were, sort of, why they were added in the first place. I don't think their value to the conference is worth their presence. That's just me. So Brett was the one who told me it actually is a vote, and I think you need a two-thirds majority or more. It's either two-thirds or 75%, and then you can basically kick them out. And I said, yeah, I would show up with a check in Columbia, Missouri, and say, here you go. And I'm sure the Big 12, maybe the Big 10, would love to give you a new home. But there's Missouri in Brett's 12 team. Remember, this year in college football, it's not one versus two. It's not the recent Final Four format with two semifinals and a national title game. It's 12. All the Power Fours winners get a first round bye, and then 5 through 8 play home games in the first round, hosting 9 through 12, which Brett also had Missouri losing at home. I forget what the 8-9 game was, but Missouri was the 8. Brett knows more about college football than me. I'll believe it when I see it, but I'm paying attention now. Brett and I do play some golf together. I mentioned his investment in the Lab Golf putter via Joey DePompo at Tampa Bay Downs. I mentioned golf last week in my 6-pack. Golf finds its way into the 4-pack. I have something to talk about after the Open Championship. Some know it as the British Open, which I think is sort of an interesting angle. It might not play out as we think, but I don't know when this podcast is going to post. So instead, I'll just offer this. For many, many years now, I have not been a fan of fine dining. Fine dining seems to have become more of a thing with the younger generation, perhaps because women, some women, view fine dining as, instead of a meal, it's an activity, it's social status, and on from there. I've enjoyed some nice restaurants in my life. I would say that a significant percentage of you have enjoyed more nice restaurants than me. So a number of years ago, and it wasn't because I didn't have the means to do it, I just sort of looked at the whole experience and said, that's not for me. I'm not into that. I'm not into being dressed that way, being treated that way. I don't see the value in it. Sure, the food can be good, but you're also raising the bar on the food better be good to justify what you're paying for. And then you're factoring in the experience and all. I think many of us have gone down the road, especially whether COVID had something to do with this or not, that customer service isn't what it used to be. And I hope you, like me, appreciate when someone gives us good customer service, whether no matter what it is. It could be just a phone call. It could be a one-minute interaction. It could be a major project. It can be a vacation. But yeah, I appreciate it even more than I used to. To me, the whole fine dining heightens the need for that to be good, just like the food or what are we paying for here. So I just choose not to do it. I'm not saying it should go away, but no, I'm not into it. And as a single guy in the horrible dating world these days, I find that a significant amount of single women want fine dining as part of the, and they're out. Sorry, you're just out. No, we're not on the same page. No thanks. To me, there's now a fine dining element in the golf business, and I am as resistant to it as I am in the restaurant business. Recently, I had an exchange with, well, someone on a golf group page on social media simply asked, coming to the Tampa Bay area, what's the one golf course that I should play? That was it. And there were hundreds of suggestions from hundreds of golfers. And my suggestion was, play Copperhead at the Innisbrook Resort. That was it. The person who asked liked my post, and others did too. And then there was someone who questioned what I said and then went down this very negative road toward Copperhead. And I don't find a lot of that. I stand by what I said about the Copperhead course at the Innisbrook Resort being a course I can recommend to someone where I feel they will enjoy the golf experience. But to me, the golf experience is the golf course, how it plays, how it is conditioned. That's it. There seems to be this additional fine dining level now with some other properties, not only in the greater Tampa Bay area, but elsewhere. And much like fine dining, I don't need that. That's not for me. I have heard about one of these other properties, how they stress the service. I'm sorry. Service? I'm playing golf. To me, that's a disconnect. I don't want to have problems or deal with distractions when I come to your golf property, but it's pretty simple. I'd like to book a tee time. I'd like to show up at a reasonable time before my tee time. I'm not someone who hits a lot of warm-up shots. Sometimes I hit none. I don't even use the bag drop. I can carry my bag to where my golf cart is. My days of walking golf courses are over. And point me in the right direction, and I will be ready to play at my scheduled time. I hope you have a beverage cart out there on the course. If not, if you have coolers of water, especially in the Florida heat, that would be nice. And then when I'm done, I can take my bag to my car on my own. And yeah, sure, if one of the younger cart guys wipes down my clubs, that's nice. I don't ask for it. Or drives me to my car so he can drive the cart back. That's nice. I don't ask for it. I will provide a gratuity. That's pretty much it. That's my golf experience. And then it's who I'm with on the golf course, my pace of play, the conditions of the golf course itself, weather is a factor. That's my golf experience. So this fine dining element beyond that is not for me, which is why I'm not excited about the direction some golf experiences are going, as some others apparently are excited about as it relates to golf, even in the greater Tampa Bay area. To me, I'm not going to recommend a golf course based on the service, how much the round costs, and how difficult it is to get a tee time. No, those aren't my criteria. And for those that do, I deal with you much the way I deal with the women who are into fine dining. We're just not on the same page, so carry on without me. I will say that some women I've been fortunate to have the company of, in a platonic sense, in the last 6 months, a recurring theme for some reason, because you get around to, well, what shows do you watch? What are some of your favorite shows, right? We like to be entertained. There are all these different streaming services. And The Office kept coming up. Now, look, I know The Office isn't a first-run show. I know it used to be on NBC. It's amazing to me, I went back and studied this, how NBC let Kirill walk. And it seems like no one wants to take the blame or be accountable for letting Kirill walk, since Kirill later said he never wanted to leave the show. And that was a perception that, well, after seven seasons, he had had enough. He's a big movie star. He doesn't have time for this anymore. Apparently, that wasn't the case. They replaced him with James Spader. The show lasted two more seasons, and that was it. I do like Kirill. I have enjoyed him in some films, not all the films he made, and I loved him in the Anchorman movies for as much of a bit role as he played on the Channel 4 news team. But I told these ladies, as I would tell anybody else, that I never watched The Office because it looked a little slow for me. And also, most comedies that I've watched in my life, the traditional half-hour, quote, sitcom, and I know this was shot with single camera, although Get Smart was shot that way, the Mel Brooks show ahead of its time, I don't love it. Now, granted, Curb is shot that way. Curb has no laugh track. It's shot film style, single camera, you know, not three cameras in a studio. Switch from camera one to camera two, back to camera one to camera three. So there are shows, comedies that I've watched that don't have a laugh track, aren't shot in studio, aren't shot three camera setup with multiple sets. But there was just something about The Office that said, I can't do this. Well, summer creates a lot of opportunities to try some different things. I'm now watching episodes of The Office on Peacock and enjoying each one of them. I get it now. I get the writing. I know it was inspired by a British show. I get all that. I get why people have their favorite characters. Kind of like the Rashida thing, and I guess she said later she got pushback from fans of the show who didn't like her because they didn't like her character. They didn't think she fit. She got in between two characters they wanted to see get together. I'm a big fan of Rashida. But I get it now. And it is fun to watch. So I may be last to the party on The Office, but I've walked in the door. So we talk about Carell leaving The Office and how he never really wanted to leave, but he did. Are we to that point with Brandon Ayuk for the last part of this podcast? Brandon Ayuk apparently has made a trade demand. I thought we went down this road before. He's posted this summer some interesting things on social media. There have been some wide receivers who have been paid. The thought is, you know, we've all known quarterbacks to get paid and running backs weren't getting paid, and suddenly wide receivers have started to get paid, and Brandon apparently wants his. And he hasn't gotten it. And his former college quarterback at Arizona State, amazing Ayuk, is coming up on needing a new contract in the NFL. And one of his college quarterbacks just entered the NFL in Jaden Daniels in Washington. So Ayuk has even thrown out places like, I guess, Pittsburgh, Washington, if not San Francisco. And look, there are 29 other teams out there. I don't have anything hard and fast about how this is going to be resolved. If you're asking me right now, it feels like Ayuk is not going to get what he wants financially, if this is true, from the Niners. The Niners may look at Ayuk and say, well, if we don't have the right quarterback, this doesn't work. And Purdy stayed healthy all of last year and they went to the Super Bowl. If we got McCaffrey via trade, literally stole him from the Carolina Panthers, one of many bad trades made by the Panthers, and we took care of Christian, who doesn't want to come off the field and is a huge part of what we do. And we have Deebo Samuel, who does things at the wide receiver position that other wide receivers simply do not do, is a big play threat. And up front, we have a left tackle that is also one of the best in the game, who is the anchor on our offensive line and needs to keep Purdy upright and clean. So I guess then maybe you could get to Ayuk, but clearly to the Niners, and at least to me, he's not the first, second, third, or fourth most important person on that offense. They just drafted a wide receiver, the only player drafted from the University of Florida, I believe, in the entire draft. So it feels like this is headed somewhere other than a resolution where Ayuk gets what he wants and he stays with the Niners and it's happily ever after. I don't know if he goes to Washington. I don't know if he goes to Pittsburgh or one of the other 29 teams. I was really down on Brandon Ayuk for the first couple years he was in the NFL. And it looked like he wasn't fully invested. And I didn't see it. And then I did. And Troy Aikman talked about this on Monday Night Football, I believe last year, and about how Ayuk, if you watch Ayuk more recently in his pro career as opposed to early in his pro career, the route running is significantly different with how he goes about his craft, with what he is doing. And as a result of that, the numbers have backed it up. So as the 2022 season progressed, not analyzing the route running the way a Troy Aikman can, I did see some things that said, okay, something good may be happening here. Let's keep an eye on it. Maybe I was wrong about Brandon Ayuk, or maybe I was right, but now things are changing. And they did. And he went out in the first game, ironically against the Steelers, one of the teams he brings up. He scored two touchdowns as the Niners went cross-country to beat the Steelers in that opening game, right? And he had a really good year. His average yards per reception was, I believe, number one or close to it in the NFL. Had a great season, and now he wants to be paid for it. There's just something about this that tells me, did you just do this? Are you just going to get paid and then what? Are you going to be that type? Or are we going to get what we saw for the last year plus? There are players in all sports who do things just to get paid, and then once they get paid, they don't perform at the same level. I have my concerns, and maybe the Niners do too. Or the Niners feel, look, you're not as important as the QB, the RB, the wide receiver one, and the left tackle. And we just drafted someone figuring we might not be able to resolve this, so we wish you well. Or they're going to say, yeah, we want you here. Because the Niners have been so close. I, as a Cowboy fan, keep reminding people that rip the Cowboys. Oh, the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since Super Bowl 30. Yeah, the Niners haven't won a Super Bowl since Super Bowl 29. And I know they've been a little closer. They've lost a couple Super Bowls in the last handful of years. But still, Dallas has won a Super Bowl more recently than the 49ers. The Niners window is still open. Cowboys, I don't think so. But it feels like at some point here in the near future, Ayuk is going to be somewhere else. I don't know if it's one of the teams he suggested, but it just doesn't feel like the Niners are in agreement with how he feels about himself for various reasons. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Tampa Bay Downs Golf Practice Facility. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. There's your summer four-pack for this week. We'll talk to you next time.